Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Political Impact. My name is Kelsey Hickman, and I'm your host of the show. Thank you so much for joining us in 2022. I hope all listeners and first-time listeners had a fantastic holiday and break and celebrated with family and friends. As many of you know, the plans for Laurier to open up again in January in person have been halted by the Omicron variant, but we are hoping that soon we can get back in person and get back to a little bit more of a normal life and normal education. I hope everyone is staying positive, and I hope we enjoy today's episode. Being such a crazy year, 2021 was filled with political events and occurrences that not only impact students, but the rest of the world. So my goal for today is to count down the five major events that have affected Canadian politics and students, and hopefully I can outline each of these events, and we can shed light on some of the important discoveries and occurrences that have happened in 2021 that affect our lives and the world. As I'm filming this right now, it's midday in Waterloo, but quite gloomy out. Very typical Waterloo weather, but there's a little bit of snow on the ground, which is good since the last time I spoke with listeners is that it was December with no snow. So it is nice to see that there is some snow on the ground and we're finally getting the winter season that we prepare for. And just a little housekeeping to keep everyone up to date. Just wanted to say that you can listen to the rest of the Political Impact episodes at radiolaurier.ca/thepoliticalimpact. And you can also follow us on Instagram at thepoliticalimpact. Thank you so much for listening, and let's start with the top five events of 2021. Now, I didn't put these events in any particular order, mostly because some of them affect different groups more than others, and some of them are international events and don't have such a first-person impact on us. So, with that being said, let's start with number five, is the tragic discovery in May 2021 of the unmarked graves of children who went to residential schools. As most people know by now, residential schooling was a program in Canada that took Indigenous children and families to try and assimilate First Nation children to the Catholic and European traditions of Canada. 215 mass unmarked graves were found on the grounds of the former Kamloops Indian Residential School in May. Then the finding was repeated in Saskatchewan, where they found 751 unmarked graves on the Merivale Indian Residential School grounds. And then once again in British Columbia, there was 182 unmarked graves found. This is obviously a massive stain on the Canadian history and on the progress that was claimed to be made by the government to try and make amends with the Truth and Reconciliation Act that was passed in 2008. It is estimated that there are 150,000 children that were forcibly removed from their families and placed in these residential schools within the 17th century until the late 1990s. there were also, it was also determined and revealed that a lot of these schools were funded and run by religious organizations, and that the Catholic Church has a big tie when it comes to the operation of residential schools in Canada. This past Canada Day, on July 1st, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said to all Canadians, quote, "This Canada Day, let's recommit to learning from and listening to each other so we can break down the barriers that divide us, rectify the injustices of our past, and build a more fair and equitable society for everyone. Together, we will roll up our sleeves and do the hard work that is necessary to build a better Canada," end quote. This is obviously a devastating discovery for the Indigenous peoples to see such a disrespect and horrific crime of that not only the residential schools were trying to take away tradition and culture, but also taking lives. And this is something that was not confirmed for a really long time by Canada. And now it seems that it is something that is confirmed and something that needs to be addressed. Trudeau issuing a statement is a good first step, but there's a lot more work to be done when it comes to the relations between Canadian government and Indigenous communities, and hopefully we can find a solution and continue to use the guidelines of the 94 commissions in the Reconciliation Act. There are many different steps that the Indigenous committee put together to help Canada find a path to resolution and to reconciliation. We have passed a few of those acts, for example, having a Truth and Reconciliation Day, which our first one passed in 2021 on September 30th. That's just one of the 94 acts that were stated will be implemented into our Canadian society. So there's a lot more work to be done, and this is a transgenerational issue, so it's going to take a transgenerational solution. There's going to be a lot more time to heal this wound, and a lot more active listening, like Justin Trudeau said, and hopefully we can find some sort of peace for those lost in residential schools and those affected by this tragedy, and also find ways to move forward as a community and a society as a whole. Interested to see what you guys think about this issue and whether or not you are surprised by the discovery. A lot of people were taken aback, especially older generations. So curious to see if younger generations are as surprised, and what younger generations think the government is doing to solve this issue, if it's enough, and if we can continue to make strides to find common ground with Indigenous communities. But just from the political impact, our hearts and thoughts go out to those impacted and the lives lost from residential schools, and we wish that only healing and further solution is made for the victims of residential schools. So let's move on to the event number 4, which is Joe Biden kicked off the year becoming President of the United States of America. After a very tight election in our neighbors in the South, the Democrats and President Joe Biden took over the White House, defeating Republican 4-year President Donald J. Trump. There has been a lot of changes that Joe Biden has inputted trying to strengthen the relationship with American allies, including Canada, he returned to the Paris Climate Agreement and the World Health Organization and renewed a start of 5 years of the Iran nuclear deal, just to name a few. Joe Biden was 78 years old when he was sworn in as the 46th President of the United States in the top of 2021. He is the oldest person ever to serve as the United States President. He is also joined by the Vice President, Kamala Harris, who is 57 years old. She is the first woman, first Black and South Asian woman, to fill the role of Vice President. Now, there was significant controversy with the legitimacy of the election and the election outcome, so much so that it caused a severe attack on the U.S. Capitol buildings. On January 6, 2021, we saw a riot where Donald Trump incited a chaotic and controversial storming of the Capitol buildings. There were thousands of people who stormed the buildings and broke in, and 5 people were killed in these riots, which shocked Americans, and not only Americans, but the entire world. The Americans have been the leader of the free world. And when I say free world, I do mean democracy, for quite some time now, a little bit under a century, I would say, since the world wars. So for the American confidence in the democratic process to be shaken, definitely ripples and has a ripple effect on the rest of the world and different states for questioning democracy and if it is the right political structure to handle such intense ideas of the present day. It's very interesting to me how seeing that the anniversary of these riots recently passed, not much was said on the American part to commemorate these riots or to see it as a stain on their history. Now, history doesn't often repeat itself, but it does often rhyme, and it's important to remember such historic successes and failures in order for us to not repeat those failures. It's dangerous that it was not covered as the 1 year anniversary by American media as much as it should have been. Joe Biden successfully handled this unprecedented transition of power with grace and with strength, showing Canadians and Canadian government that this is not something that will happen again while he is in power. There is some worry that the American distrust and their view on democratic principles can pass borders and it can come into Canadians' hearts and minds as truth and fact. So it's important to distinguish ourselves from the US, but also know and recognize how much power they have and influence they have over us and the entire world, but particularly Canada, because we are their border neighbors. It's important to remain tight allies with the United States, but also recognize and distinguish ourselves from their own government processes and events and attacks such as January 6th. Speaking of which, let's move on to number 3. And I said that the number 3 event of 2021 for Canadians was in fact, the federal Canadian election. The federal Canadian election took place in September 2021. And those of you who are eligible to vote, I really do hope that you did, because no matter who you vote for, your voice matters, and it is your fundamental right as a Canadian citizen to vote and to have that democratic power within our society to help legitimize our government to reflect our needs and values. There was many voices that questioned the legitimacy of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau calling an election during a pandemic. There were some challenges for Election Canada to actually run an election safely during a pandemic, and I think it's a testament that they were able to pull it off successfully. And I think that that is something that we should applaud Election Canada's for, especially since the election was so fast. It was only about a month that they had to put this together. So it really is astounding to me that they were able to pull that off. Now, let's go over a little bit of the basics of a Canadian election, because they're very different from the United States, and I think that it is a little bit more complicated to understand, and hopefully I can just outline a little bit why the election was called and what the outcome of the election was and what that means to Canadian government. So Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, at the time he called the election in September 2021, had a minority government. And his attempt was to gain a majority government. So unlike the United States system, our government has a federal process, which means that there are 4 main parties that include the Conservatives, the Green Party, the Liberal Party, and NDP, which is the New Democratic Party. And each party has a leader that will run and lead the House of Commons. Does not necessarily mean that you're voting for that leader. You see, we have 338 separate elections that go on in Canada for a federal election. Each election represents a seat in the House of Commons. So there are a certain amount of seats that are each campaigned for, and they are distributed based on population proportions in different districts in Canada. Then each seat is won by someone who will represent one of the main parties, and the party with the most seats will lead the House of Commons and lead the federal government. A majority government is won when a party has 169 seats or more. That means they have a majority government. They have the majority amount of seats in the House of Commons, and it's much easier for them to pass legislation because they vote based on their party lines. However, because there are 2 or more parties, a party can win the most seats in House of Commons, but still hold under the threshold for a majority, which is 169 seats. This is when a minority government is formed. So a minority government is when, once again, the party holds the most seats but still doesn't hold over 50% of those seats in House of Commons. Minority governments make it extremely difficult for said party to pass the legislation and the party outcomes that they want. It often leads to multiple parties coming together to create a coalition and voting together so that they can pass legislation smoothly. When Trudeau called the election, his hope was to gain a majority government. However, after Canadians voted in September, a Liberal minority was again the outcome of the 2021 election. So we had the same outcome. So technically, on a Liberal Party perspective, this election was not successful. When he went to the polls in beginning of September, beginning of August, it looked like Trudeau had a majority outcome, but unfortunately that was not the case, and a minority government was formed, which leaves us the same sort of party alliances with the NDP and Liberal Party. It's very interesting because it is something that I think a lot of younger Canadians in particular don't really understand. So I do hope that that gave you a better idea of what you're voting for and why you were voting for it in September, and how the federal government creates legislation, and if it is done easily or with challenge. That all depends on majority or minority governments. It's an important development to see the Canadian election as one of the top events of 2021, especially for Laurier students, but for all Canadians. In this major national health crisis, like the pandemic, the federal government is really important to try and pass bills and legislations in this state of emergency. What happens when the Conservatives and the Liberal Party don't see eye to eye on the way to administer vaccines? Now, that's just an example of something that could go wrong in a minority government, and they can be in a certain type of political gridlock where no outcome is made or no solution is passed because of the amount of seats held. So it's important to recognize if we're in a Liberal government, a Conservative government, a minority, a majority, whatever it is, it's important for Canadians to know, it's important for students to know, because that's what creates the foundation of the next X amount of years before we have another election. And that will determine the success of the federal government's goals, and if they can achieve them or not. My next event that I decided to cover is 2021 was the rollout of vaccines. It was the year of vaccines, the year of solution to this pandemic, or so we thought. We're still in it, but it is getting better with the amount of vaccines that are being distributed and administered. In the beginning of 2021, it was a slow rollout to get enough vaccines for Canadians, but we made it through. And at the time I am recording this podcast, over 80% of Canadians are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, which is a huge deal. That is close to a herd immunity. Herd immunity is over 90%, but we are getting there, and at the beginning of this year it was zero. So we need to see this as progress and as a success for Canadians, but something that we still need to work towards is getting our entire population vaccinated. I know at the time that I'm recording this podcast, Omicron has become the fast new developing variant. I did cover this in my last solo episode, the discovery of Omicron and if it came to Canada or not. And obviously over the past month, it has been rapidly spreading and contaminating a lot of different Canadians. And although it has milder symptoms, it has still overwhelmed our healthcare in Ontario, and that is why we are back in our fourth lockdown. Vaccination has caused a lot of controversy, whether it is successful, whether it is worth it. But what I can say about that is there are a lot of scientists and doctors who study this and have backed the vaccine, including the FDA, has approved both Pfizer and Moderna vaccinations. It is, and Health Canada encourages you to get vaccinated. There's a lot of different articles and explanations that are available to Canadians and students if you are still hesitant about getting the vaccine. I recommend that you read them and you try to find some compassion for those who have been impacted severely by COVID through death of family members and friends. And it also protects you, not just those around you. So the year of the vaccine is 2021, but I do hope that 2022, we continue to get that percentage up and the number of Canadians that are fully vaccinated. And hopefully this is our last lockdown. The end of the year seems to be beginning the same way that 2021 did, in a lockdown with high amount of COVID cases. But I do want Laurier students to stay hopeful and positive throughout this. It is something that we still are living with, but it's something that is universal. No one in the world is getting away not being affected by COVID and by Omicron at this point. So we have to live in a little bit of blind optimism that people will get vaccinated, people will not get sick to the degree that they would have if they weren't vaccinated, and just hope for the best for everyone that is very sick. So the last event that I chose to cover for the year 2021 is also a universal issue, event, both political and human problem, and that is climate change. Throughout the year 2021, we saw an increase in carbon emissions, natural disasters, but also in promises by governments through COP26 and many more. I decided to do a little bit of research on the developments we have made, or the increases we have seen of evidence of climate change throughout the year compared to 2020. So one of these increases is new high in gas emissions. So in 2020, greenhouse gas concentration reached new highs, and that included levels of carbon monoxide, methane, and nitrous oxide in our atmosphere. And this increase has continued throughout 2021. Another development is the extreme weather that we have witnessed and encountered. This is included in Canada, in British Columbia in particular. I did cover in my last solo episode about the floods in British Columbia. British Columbia has also encountered huge forest fires. There have been exceptional heat waves throughout North America in June and July. And this includes British Columbia, where they reached 49.6 degrees Celsius on June 29, 2021, which breaks the previous Canadian national record for heat by 4.6 degrees Celsius. There have been consecutive droughts across large parts of Africa, Asia, and Latin America, which have coincided with severe storms such as hurricanes and cyclones. This significantly has impacted livelihoods and the ability to recover from these weather disasters of certain developing countries. One of the ways that it has impacted humans is the increase of food insecurity because of these extreme weather events and occurrences. There are crops that can no longer grow because of droughts and flooding, which has caused many farmers and agriculture teams to be more and more concerned with climate change and what it will do to our supply of food in the future. Dr. Sarah Birch is an associate professor at University of Waterloo, and she is the Canadian Research Chair for Sustainable Governance and Innovation when it comes to climate change. She says that any improvement we make is a really important step in the right direction. On an international level, COP26 was the world's new agreement on an action plan for climate change, and it was signed and constructed in 2021. It highlights the many goals for countries to reach to lower emissions in the next 5 years. So 151 countries, including Canada, submitted new climate change plans to slash their carbon emissions by 2030. The World Health Organization and the International Environment Committee for United Nations said that COP26 is the world's best last chance to make a serious change in diverting the long-lasting impacts of climate change. The Canadian Liberal government has promised with carbon prices that there's a window of opportunity to start to expand the supply of clean electricity and lower carbon supply at the end of the day. It's no longer just an environmental problem. There are real human impacts of climate change. As the planet continues to warm by 1 degree, in Canada it's warmed even more. And extremely hot days affect elderly and socioeconomic groups that don't have access to cool places, just to name an example. These impacts are significant, and the emissions keep us on track to doing even more damage. Canada has committed to reduce emissions by up to 40% by 2030. This commitment is significant, and hopefully it will encourage Canadian government to create new policies that will help us reach that goal, including pushing for clean energy, which is what I mentioned earlier. Dr. Birch says that we should still expect to see higher emissions that will cause more damage. But Dr. Birch says also there's always hope, and cutting our emissions by 1 degree, by 1%, is still huge benefits to stopping the long-term effects of climate change. This is a problem that will affect younger generations and their futures more so than older generations. This includes us students. And as Generation Z and millennials, we should continue to look closely into the developments of climate change and the policies that are being produced. Because it affects our future and our future kids and future generations, and it will continue to be up to us to demand change and see policy progress in Canada and around the world. This is something that no one person on the planet can get away from. It affects all of us and all of our homes, and I think it has been easy for Canadians in the past to turn a blind eye, not living in the Arctic, not seeing permafrost and ice caps melting, but now it's starting to impact many, many more Canadians, especially in the West, but also here in Ontario. As I said before, the lack of snow and the later winters and the hotter summers, these are all smaller evidence of climate change that will only get bigger. And and we need to do our best to live clean and sustainably, and hopefully we see more change on a grander scale in the future. So that concludes the top 5 countdown of 2021 events. I hope that this podcast was entertaining and also gave a few more details to these events that we have experienced in the past year. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, we really appreciate all the support. We've seen huge amounts of positive feedback from you guys, and I really do appreciate that. It means the absolute world to me and to the podcast, The Political Impact. But we always start January with hope. I hope that these events, particularly COVID and climate change, can be seen as a new start in 2022 with more positive solutions and advancements in technology and decrease in people that are sick with COVID. There's always hope. Time to make change, but change should start now. So I do hope that 2022 brings hope for new episodes of The Political Impact with more insightful conversation and engages us in both international and local politics as students, because we matter. And I really do hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, my name is Kelsey Hickman. I am the host of The Political Impact. Cheers to 2022, and remember, your voice matters.